Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Happy Being Well. We have an exciting guest today, as we always do, and an exciting topic as well. We have Dr. Melissa Crane today with us, and she is a spiritual teacher and author. And we're going to be discussing, you know, as we all know, we're always evolving with each generation. There's always a new buzzword. Like now where everyone's focusing on, you know, narcissist is a buzzword, self-love is a buzzword. And also, you know, females tapping more into their femininity because, in our society, you know, for most women who are participating in the business world, you know, in whatever capacity, either it's a, you know, you're a lawyer, you're a business executive, or you're just an actual business, you know, you're operating a business yourself, you have to adapt those masculine traits in order to thrive, you know, to avoid being crushed, essentially. So now, you know, we're seeing more and more, you know, coaches teach women to tap more into their femininity. Like this needs to be like trained again. So, you know, in order to, for various reasons, I think a lot of it, I've been noticing a lot of like dating coaches, like train women now to tap more into their femininity to kind of have a much more healthier relationship with their male counterparts for a lot of reasons, right? So we're going to be discussing this with Melissa. And before we dive deep with Melissa, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your online store for leggings, 100% facial masks, natural essential oils, aromatherapy diffusers, natural deodorants, crystals, sage, Palo Santo, natural bath soaps, and much more at happybeingwell.com. Use code podcast25. For 25% off all leggings, free shipping and all items in the USA. So Melissa, welcome to the Happy Being Well podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. And I know you share wonderful guided meditations on Clubhouse, and you've been a spiritual teacher for a long time. And I just figured we'll just tap into this. Like, what have you discovered on your journey up until today? You know, as women with all, you know, we're always focusing on something, you know, each generation is like, we're figuring something out. It's like we're figuring out a certain puzzle piece. And that's why we tend to hone in on certain buzzwords. Like there's always a new buzzword with every, like, I don't know, maybe like every 5 years we get a new, we figure out a new puzzle piece that we need to focus on. So now it's like self-love, femininity, people are learning about narcissists, more and more people recognizing narcissistic behavior, which is great. And now we're also focusing, we're all as a collective, that, you know, we need to heal our inner traumas. So I just figured, you know, tapping into like what you've discovered, and we can dive into like femininity, like, as women, where do you see us going?
This is a great topic, as I myself functioned, I call it my past life, from a place of always feeling like I needed to do, always feeling like I needed to prove something about myself, prove my worth through doing something. Back in the day before the whole pandemic, I practiced as a chiropractor. And, you know, I assumed the role of the fixer, right? So people would come to see me, and then it was like I had this thought and this belief that, well, I have to take their pain away, right? They're in pain, and so I have to do a thing. And then I had to, my survival was based on, you know, my job and people making appointments and having to show up. And it was this constant go, 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 do, do, do. And towards the end, right before the the lockdown hit, I was starting to like question, is this truly in alignment with how I want to be, how I want to live? Is this in alignment with my values? And do I want to do this anymore? And so it was that notion of like, okay, I need to take a break. I need to step back and just reassess what's going on, which then led into a lot of time on my own to just listen and receive and get really honest with myself. So I think it's important that we take that time as we move forward to tap back into ourselves. And like I was saying before, of what's our value system? What's really important? And to learn again that it's okay to, first of all, not really know and to change and to just be, to tap into that flow. Because as women, you know, we are the birthers. We birth creation. And if there's something that we know to be true, is that there's always change. There's always cycles. You know, Mother Earth herself in a constant state of cycles and seasons, and something blooms and then it dies and then it reforms. And so us as women, and everyone, as we all have that feminine energy within us, if we can start to embody that, I think that moving forward as we create this new way of being, that it'll happen with a little bit more ease and grace.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I mean, I am seeing, it seems like, I feel like this, the feminine energy, you know, I feel like we're kind of tapping more into it, and it's kind of like being celebrated more and being more appreciated. You know, I feel like from what I'm hearing, in whatever community, it's the new age community, spiritual community, or just personal development community. I'm seeing like a recognition of the importance of the feminine energy. You know, whereas in the past, you know, masculine energy was more celebrated because the masculine energy can, you know, is protection. Masculine energy is, you know, the breadwinner, you know, providing for the family. Masculine energy is success, strength. And so, whereas the female energy was kind of, I would say down, maybe like not as celebrated. Like it was like, yeah, they're the nurturers, the caring, you know, mothers, giving birth. But it was like, you know, if we just look at the culture from like 50s, 60s, 70s, right? Yeah, it's interesting, you know, as we're unfolding a newer age, as we're, you know, going through lessons we've learned from the past. And now, I mean, I would love to see everybody embrace self-love and actually heal their inner traumas. Something I'm very, very passionate about, because we would just be a lot more, you know, healthier as an overall society, but even on the individual level. It always starts with the individual level, and then we can have a stronger collective consciousness around it. And it's just so much, you're just much more, you have so much more clarity and you're so much more empowered. And, you know, you're, I would say empowered clarity in the ability to actually love yourself strengthens, and your ability, which, and it all starts with connecting with yourself. I would say that's the foundation. Well, self-awareness, then connecting with yourself, right? To be able to kind of go deep. So what have you learned through your journey in terms of, you know, healing, like what's been your healing journey or watching others heal? And like, like, I know a lot of people avoid it. they don't like to do trauma work, or even recognize that they've had trauma, or talk about it, or even think about it, right? It's not sexy. It's not something the ego likes to think about or admit, right? Because we all have an ego to varying degrees, and the ego likes to shut that out and just
keep us safe. You know, it's like, it's there to keep us safe. And, you know, based on what we've known to be true. And it's like, when those lessons that we learn through our life's experience, when they're not the pleasant ones, you know, we tend to brush those things under the rug. You know, we don't want to look at that stuff because it didn't feel good. And this is what I learned the most through when I had my practice, when I was, you know, working on the physical body and just like with pain and the discomforts. It was like, I saw that, you know, obviously we're so much more than skin and bones. You know, we are energetic beings, and we have the mental body, and we have the emotional body. We have our spiritual body, right? Layer upon layer. And the physical is the densest. It's the last thing for this energy to manifest through, so that we can really start paying attention to where it is, to what those things are that are wanting us to love and look at and acknowledge, to bring that back in and integrate. You know, the fact that I love when you said it's like having this clarity and this empowerment. Well, that comes by being like in alignment with our highest self, with our highest soul's expression, based on that strong foundation of whatever that is for you. For me, it's peace, it's love, it's harmony. But where we get pulled astray, like off of that path, are those the fear. Fear is so big. The shame, the self-judgment, the self-doubt, the denial and the repression of our truest desires. And they show up. They show up in our world, in the way we feel, in our body. It's like a dashboard on a car, right? The car lights light up. It's like, check engine soon. But it's like, no, we're okay. We keep going. And then stuff manifests so that we can slow down and we can take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's like, you know, if you hold on to trauma and you don't do the work to identify it and figure, you know, just relive it. Nobody wants to relive it. Relive it. And so that you can actually just release it from your body and just recognize like what's the lesson you needed to learn from this. And because, you know, whatever, like traumas that we experience, you know, it took me a long time to even recognize or know that a trauma does not have to be an act of violence. It doesn't have to be like a big, you know, situation, because this is what led me to constantly recreate the same toxic relationship over and over and over, whether they be friends, whether they be, you know, intimate relationships. It was just like constant like cycle. And because, you know, that was a familiarity based on my childhood. So, you know, for the longest time, like, oh, I don't have any childhood traumas. Well, I didn't realize what that actually encompasses. Like, you know, trauma does not have to be an act of physical violence. So, you know, until one actually goes and figures that out and goes deep, your trauma is going to prevent you from, you know, activating your higher self, activating your empowerment, activating self-love, activating full clarity, because your traumas are, you're going to recreate that feeling in your nervous system because you're so familiar with that feeling of anxiety, the feeling of, because you've been coexisting with it for so long, so you're just going to produce or be in situations, attract situations that produce that anxiety, produce that. And you're not going to achieve clarity because you're going to be operating from a state of chaos and confusion. You know, when you have anxiety, how could you possibly think clearly and live from a state of empowerment, like taking massive action and not let other voices influence you, you know, hearing your actual true voice and trusting your intuition and trusting yourself, as opposed to basically you're having a chaotic nervous system and you're living from a state of confusion. That's just going to, you know, you're just going to be all over the place, right? You're just going to be living from a state of doubt, state of a whole whack of wackadoodles. Yeah. Or, you know, I think some people can function like that. Like they have their job, they go and do their job every day and they come home, they have this certain routine, but they're not really happy with the job. They're just coexisting in it. Until perhaps, you know, until you hit your breaking point. Some people can actually do it and do it until maybe they retire, you know, people can, but right. They're not usually happy, right? You're aging faster. I mean, you're not living from a place of full vitality. And I think collectively we are recognizing that. And this is why we have the great resonation as well. I think people are actually, I think the lockdowns provided an opportunity for people to actually not be so busy doing like we've been conditioned to do. We've been like human doings, not human beings for the most part. Right. And so I think this is why we're seeing this, you know, mass resonation, people like having to have a much more wellness and healthy lifestyle and start to tap into their true passions, true desires more. We are seeing this now. And I think being alone and having that time to actually self-reflect and be helping them kind of tune into their bodies, you know, after they're freaking out about being alone. I mean, at some point, I think people had to go within and discover some clarity and truth. So it's kind of exciting that we're kind of seeing that.
Yeah. And there's, you know, you have to be willing to do it. You know, we have choice, we have free will. If we choose to continue going, right, you're going to get what you've always got. And if that's okay with you, that's your choice, so be it. But if we want to live in a world of our wildest imaginations, of what we know to be possible someplace within, we have to be willing to not be victim to that. You know, it's like once we just take time and are courageous enough to become really honest with where we have perhaps betrayed our own heart, abandoned our desires, abandoned our own self, abandoned our inner child, then that's where we can start bringing that family, I like to call it, that lives within our hearts back together. Right? Because as we were talking before about the masculine and the feminine, that energy, it exists within all of us. There's the yin, mm-hmm. and there's the yang, and then there's that pure innocent child. And there needs to be a harmonious and happy household going on inside of allowing ourselves time to relax and have self-care and do those things too that bring us joy. And then act with in service for the highest good of all, and in also for our own self, and to continue allowing ourselves to be curious about new things, mm-hmm. and trying new things. And it's sometimes easy to get really caught up in the yang, right? Really go. And then also, it's also possible to get, you know, caught up in the yin of just like, oh gosh, I don't even know how to start again, right? So yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot. It's not easy. It's like, oh, okay, I'm just going to heal and love myself and everything's going to be great. It's like, okay, no, like that's work too, you know? So we have to like think of it that way. It's like for those of us that have, they're really made these huge transformational shifts in our life, it's like we can get in our own heads. I know I have. I'll speak from my own experience. It's like you can get in your head of like, I'm not doing enough. Like, do I even have a purpose anymore? Like, I'm not working in the way I used to work. And
our ego.
We are like that inner work, that inner child work, that working on the wounded feminine, the wounded masculine, like that's a lot of energy. You going in and integrating and forgiving and looking at it and then crying. And then you need to sleep it out and you need to do all those things. That's doing, you know, that's doing. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole like restructuring of our mental bodies, of what we've been taught of like how we are to function in the world.
Well, I don't know. We were never taught. It was never taught. And it was just never like exposed. It was never a cool thing to do in the mainstream media. You know, when we watch movies, like we don't see, you know, Julia Roberts like saying, I'm going to heal my inner traumas. And, you know, it's just, we weren't like really taught this. We were just conditioned, you know, we first of all, look how much years that we spent in school being indoctrinated just to get a job. Like easy kindergarten, elementary school, 8 years, high school, 4 years. Then it's, you know, a university or a college, which is an additional like 4 years just for your bachelor's. And if you want to continue on to your PhD,
yeah.
2 years for your master's. And then I think it's like maybe like 2 or 4 years for your PhD, right? It's like the amount of schooling. I mean, you could very well stop at your bachelor's, but I mean, just at the bachelor's level, I mean, look how much schooling that we've gotten. And that's just, you know, to function in society, to hold, be a responsible citizen, the indoctrination, all those years of being indoctrinated to be a responsible and functioning citizen of society. So we kind of have to look at it that way too. It's like, well, this is not a one-day weekend retreat where you're just healed and it's going to happen and you're empowered and clear and you're good. It's like, it is like an everyday process to really, first of all, get that awareness, fully understand it, process it, and then actually do the techniques in order to clear your subconscious of traumas, and then in order to be able to activate yourself in a higher level of functioning in terms of really loving yourself, in order to like really create the life that you love living and that you're more empowered too. You're more strong within yourself because you're now trusting your intuition. You're not doubting yourself based on all those traumas too. And the projections too, like your traumas also you're going to be projecting that onto other people and situations too, which, you know, again, you're just going to be recreating, right? So it's so, so vital. And also too, I think it doesn't happen in one session either. If you do trauma work. It's like an onion. There's just, because there's been so many life experiences that we've had since being a baby. It's like,
yeah, and we're like not only clearing our trauma, we're clearing the trauma of like the bloodlines, right? Like this is through the eons of time of like in our DNA. Like if you think of like a root system underneath the ground, right? And just all this, just this knot of threads, right? Okay, so like the image that they're showing me right now, like it's like, you know, if you have a necklace strand or you have a couple necklaces and then they just get wadded up into this one massive knot, it kind of takes some time to go in there with a pin, you know, and to start unraveling stuff to have just freedom. But yeah, it's like you were saying, like this from school, from growing up within our family units, we can't blame anyone because it's like, we only know what we know, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, and then, you know, people have done like the best that they could. So that's where it's like having that compassion and forgiveness for like, you're doing what you knew. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like, this is the time now that I feel like the collective is entering where we're like looking back, we're like, this doesn't make sense. Right? Like we are not robots. Like, we are not all the same, especially from little kids. Little kids, oh my gosh, like they are our teachers. They are the truest teachers. I look at my nephew and I'm like, what is he doing? Okay, so he's eating blueberries and he's doing something with his hand and stomping his feet. Like, I'm just going to follow his lead because he's onto something. And it's like their imagination and their creativity and the way they do things. If we were all, you know, met there and allow that creative genius that lives in us at the forefront as children, then this world would be a completely different place because we would be acting from our gifts, from our innate gifts, our uniqueness, our authenticity, what we're good at, because we're not all good at the same things. We need to have this harmonious existence, this coexistence that bring out the best in all of us. But that hasn't happened. That didn't happen. And so then we go through this whole thing and we get all these layers, we put up all these bars and we have this big wadded necklace knot. And then we have to start unwinding it. But
I think maybe as you're talking about that, it's like maybe, you know, we've been, you know, as a society kind of been extreme. It's like we're focusing on something and we're just kind of like, it's just that one, like, for example, as you're talking about the child, because now the child has not been indoctrinated, you know, in society, right? It's just all it's responsible for doing is just eating and going to sleep and waking up and playing with their friends and like they're not, we've formulated a structure in society, right, to prevent chaos, right? Like we have streetlights so that people are not crashing into cars. You know, we pay taxes so that we have a government that's supposed to oversee us and everything to have order, right? So we have schools and our children go to schools. So, you know, basically order. So if we were all, like, let's just say, like, let's just play around with the thought. Like, let's just say that we were like never indoctrinated and we never went to school and we're never really taught to like behave a certain way as an adult or whatever. And we see the child and like let that child, you know, I don't know. We would just, maybe it would be chaotic, who knows? Or maybe we need to have that balance, like you said earlier, of like we shouldn't be abandoning us being children, having that sense of child excitement, and plus you're tapping into your true self, not abandoning yourself, because children don't do that, or judging yourself because children don't do that. But then again, we are learned to do that to function in society. So it's like, it's kind of a tricky, you know, conundrum, or, you know, it's a tricky little thing that's happening, you know, in order to have order and structure in our society, right? So I think it's like, maybe we just need to allow to have that childlike curiosity, or, you know, staying in our truth, but not abandoning order or structure altogether, right? It just needs to have that more of that balance instead of being so extreme, I suppose, it seems like, as you're—
And that's the thing, that's where we're at now, is like, the more of us that wake up to this awareness, it's like taking all that we've learned throughout our lives. So we're not just children with like blank slate of having this, you know, run and rampant. No, it's like, we can embrace the childlike sense of wonder and have our inner mother, our inner father, our divine source connection, and dismantle the old systems, as to then recreate new systems that are offering the form that the, you know, and the flow. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a lot that's ahead of us. There's a lot of change that's going, I feel, needs to happen. And therein lies the chaos, potential chaos, because there's that fear of the uncertainty. There's the fear of the unknown. There's the fear of the change. And so then you can get caught back up in that perpetual loop of like, well, let's just stick with what's known because it's the way it's always been and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, that wasn't working. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would love to, you know, we can get to a point in society where we just like no longer have these fear-based behaviors, you know, in terms of addictions and narcissists. And, you know, it'd be so cool if like everyone was just like really just heal trauma, because it all comes from trauma mainly. Or, you know, or they've learned the behavior from a parent. But again, it's always, if that parent, if we keep tracking back to, okay, they learned it from, so that parent did it. Why did that parent do it? Either they've had the trauma and they adopted those behaviors, or they, you know, it's just this generational trauma thing, you know, basically perpetuating itself in throughout the family lineage. Yeah, and I'm hearing so much about healing trauma, which I'm so happy about, because that really is the really truly the key ingredient, the secret key to all of this, unlocking true harmony and self-love and harmony with others too. I'm sure we've all been in a workplace where, you know, works, there's a jealousy and betrayal and sophisticated manipulation games, right? Because they fear that you're outshining them and you're going to get the promotion, they're going to get demoted or fired or whatever, right? So it's like, you know, and a lot of it is, again, fear, right? Running on fear. And if people could just tap into more harmony, work together, you know, and really just kind of focus on just the good stuff of life. You know.
And it comes down to compassion, right? Because once we have compassion, then we're able to forgive. So if we can look back to times in our life when we've been on each side of the coin, you know, it's like when we talk about trauma, of these things that have been done that we've experienced, rather than just identifying with this happened to me, right? It's that whole shift of like, okay, well, perhaps this happened for me. And I know that can be a really triggering thing or hard to understand, like, how could this happen for me? when this was just so awful and blah, blah, blah. But, and I'm not diminishing that. But when we can begin to look at each and everything that we have experienced as a lesson of just how strong we are, just how courageous we are, and also when we can just step into another person's shoes or see how perhaps we ourselves showed up in certain ways, it's like we're able to then forgive. And once we can forgive, then that shadow aspect or that thing that's just been under the rug, we can just integrate that back in our heart and we can just open up and expand on. And it doesn't hold us in shackles anymore of like, you know what I'm saying? Like it really, for me, it comes down to compassion. Like when I think about my past and growing up and, you know, being a teenager and with my mom and with my dad, of like, I look now back on it and I'm able to see things just in a completely new way than perhaps when we were in it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's, we don't see it until hindsight of like, whoa, okay, I get it now. And then I see how then I've done this in other relationships. And then it like goes around this whole thing of like, yeah, it's a lot. But that's where I think we start to free ourselves from that cycle of trauma.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly how we free ourselves, by ending that cycle. Yeah, ending the cycle of trauma. And I think, and it's really easy to not be aware of it either. Like I mentioned, I wasn't for the longest time until I hit that crashing point. It's like, oh my, because it's just, you know, what happened with me was like, I would be dating a series of narcissistic men, but each one just kind of got more narcissistic, like more like, you know, worse in terms of just being more sophisticated in having more narcissistic tendencies until I, you know, got into one that had full-blown narcissistic personality disorder. And then, you know, so that's what happens. You know, the universe, you're just going to keep, you're going to keep graduating into much more severe, I guess you could say, trauma, or just much more to a point where it's going to exhaust you if you don't figure out what it is that you're recreating or reproducing to try to change the original event, right? So, and in my case, the original event, I couldn't even really recognize that, even though I was doing a lot of, you know, timeline therapy, NLP timeline, going back into the original event, like going back into the original event of fear, anger, but there's just so many that you go through. And to kind of get to the major roots of it. So it's like, it's just a huge journey. And then that's when you finally get free and you stop those patterns, and then you become much more strong and empowered. And that's when you're just really just able to actually listen and trust your intuition as well. And, you know, you're no longer living life by default, like just living life, you know, having the external kind of push you around, right? You're then able to just like be a force and like kind of just create the world around you, as opposed to letting, you know, outside individuals kind of push you around in the energetic sense of the word. You know, like try to, because a lot of people, because most people have traumas that haven't been healed. So therefore, a lot of people like control, and they like to control others, right? So like, you know, covertly or whatever through, they just like it. It makes them feel safe. And so, not like little minor things, like maybe trying to influence you to do something, you know, influence you to do something or whatever, just because of a sense of control. So once you are able to stand in your own truth, listen to your intuition, and plus you have to recognize these behaviors. The more and more you're a master of human behavior, the more and more you're just able to know what's right, know what's true, and honor yourself, and know and not feel guilty about. For me, I'm a recovering codependent, and it took me, oh my God, I just discovered that just recently again, you know. So not having to, you know, codependents get their worth by pleasing others, fixing their problems. It's like I have a sense of obligation to do so. It's crazy. It's just, and meanwhile, the people that, I mean, I would even be driving and putting my own life in danger, you know, picking up a phone, making sure someone's okay, and I'm on the highway or freeway. And yeah, it's, you know, but yet those individuals would not reciprocate, but doesn't really matter. The point is you're abandoning yourself because you're just completely just so absorbed in others. You're so absorbed in the external.
Yeah.
Neglecting the internal. Yeah. So that being said, what are some of your favorite ways to connect with yourself, to go internal?
Well, meditation has just been, that's an everyday, that's a non-negotiable for me. And that was one of the first things I would abandon upon getting in different relationships, because I can connect with the whole, you know, the narcissistic, the codependence. I was like relationship after relationship, whatever. And I would always set aside my spiritual practice. And so that has been huge. To channel in spirit, the living light, to visualize, because we don't give our imaginations the credit I think that it deserves too. It's like to envision ourselves in peace, to feel what peace is, to feel and sense and recreate and imagine how it is that we want to be, right? So taking that was for me a big thing of, you know, people say like manifestation work or like vision board stuff. It's like that kind of thing, but just like in mind, in it within. Painting has been huge for me right now, just to like get that energy out, you know, to move that energy. So it's like receiving, and then as things kind of bubble up to the surface and stuff, like to just get it out, or journaling, any kind of expression of the energy is big. And it can be anything for anyone, right? Like going outside into nature, playing music, dancing, getting in your car and screaming could be a meditation, really. Like just to be present with yourself.
Yeah.
And yeah, like that's the other thing. There's no right or wrong way to be with your own self.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but meditation big time. And like finding that community too. I love Clubhouse so much. I know that's where you found me. It's like to be with people where you can talk and express your truth and not care of like what you sound like, what you look like, what are people going to think? And like, you can hear someone of like, oh my gosh, they're going through the same thing I ever. It's like, there's such support there that that's therapy, right? To just be seen, held, heard, and be able to express what's on your heart. That's where the healing comes from. So just feeling safe to be you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But you connect with yourself first in order to know who you are. So I just feel
Or sometimes it helps like to talk with others because we don't even know, right? And it's like it's only like through relationship when someone reflects back to you of like, oh, like, okay. And then it's not like trauma bonding, right? Of like, just like really strengthening that trauma bond. Like, no, like, but if we can empower one another to, you know, to see things in a different way, or this is what worked for me. It's like this beautiful dance of,
I totally agree. I once you try to get yourself healthy minded, and connecting with yours, I think you need that balance of like having the alone time to do the self-reflection, connect with yourself, feel that inner peace. And then you're going to start attracting high vibing people anyways, where you can be in a safer place, where you're going to mitigate the probability of being around people that will gaslight you, or, you know, be control freaks, or trying to manipulate you or whatever. And plus, also too, because you're strengthening your intuition, when you do encounter these individuals, you're going to quickly recognize it, and you're going to be really strong to walk away without any guilt or shame or regret around it either, because you now know truth and you know your own truth, and you're actually doing them a favor by walking away. Because by staying with these people, giving them intention or rewarding them with your time, energy, and friendship, when they're not really giving you a real friendship back, you are enabling them. So they're going to continue on doing this behavior to you and others. So you are actually doing them a favor by walking away and cutting them off. And the more and more, because I feel like, you know, everyone's kind of screaming narcissism, narcissistic abuse, because it went on for so long and there wasn't a mass discussion about it it took me, I ran into the material by accident in 2017, and I, you know, been on personal development journey for so many years. I've taken psychology courses in school when I was in university, you know what I mean? I mean, I didn't even know fully what narcissistic personality disorder was. And I just thought that narc was vanity, self absorbed, selfish. I didn't really realize the sophisticated tactics and techniques and how they operate. It's all operating from a place of, you know, you're just a supply of energy for them, and everything is systematic in terms of the cycles of ups and downs, rewards and punishments designed to condition you to, have you behave a certain way that benefits them, and that's your only function in the relationship is benefiting them. That's it, right? So and they are really good at disguising it, that it's an actual genuine relationship or friendship, right? With these rewards of like grandiose gestures of like caring and kindness in attention at times, but that's just designed to keep you hooked till they get whatever else that they need you to do for them, right? So, and if you don't, you get punished in various forms that could just be not talking to you or whatever it is, right? So yeah, I feel like, I'm so glad people are talking about it. So I just feel like people are now kind of like recognizing it more, because it's been happening on a mass scale so much. That's why we're having all these conversations around it. People are just kind of more and more kind of getting like fed up with the toxic energy. I think that we've enabled a toxic culture for so long, and I think people are recognizing that.
Yeah. the need for boundaries is really big. And boundaries doesn't have to mean like that you're keeping someone out. Like you said, we're not doing anybody any favors by suppressing what it is to that we know to be true for us, right? It's like, especially in this time right now with like the eclipse season and these new cycles starting, it's really coming down to, you know, after this entire life that we've lived, all these experience, all this wisdom that we've gained, I dare to say that there, if everyone were to just contemplate for a second on something that they know needs to go, like that drawer, that junk drawer, or like that to-do list, like that thing, like, oh, I got to do this. This has got to go. But yet we don't do it because it could be letting go of that relationship that that was really big or in your life, like especially when it comes within family members or jobs or something, that it's like, okay, I have to go this way and you have to go this way. And that's okay, because by removing yourself and going back into the path that you know to be true for you, of where you want to go, that's in alignment with your values, all the things like that is reciprocal, where you're surrounding yourself with the balance of give and take, that you're feeling joy within, then that frees up space for the other to do their work and to continue on their journey. And so it's being really brave, right? If we can just talk to that little person inside of us too, that's kind of scared, like, I don't know, like, am I going to be safe if I let this go? It's like, yes. And that's where, you know, mom and dad put those boundaries on of like, you're good. You're good. Mm-hmm. And it's a better world for all involved. Mm-hmm. But it takes a minute to like get there, right? Of like even recognizing like, oh my gosh, like this person, this is not a healthy relationship. Like for me, it was like I'd stay in relationships well past the expiration point of like, how many red flags do I need to paint white before I get the memo? But then you get it. Finally, as those things got louder, like you were saying, like you keep going around this cycle, right? And it's like the breadcrumbs get bigger, the messages get louder, the signs get shinier. And then sometimes spirit will just take the wheel of like, all right, move over. This has got to go. This has got to go. So, yeah, there's always a message. Mm-hmm. And to get our attention.
Absolutely. It's like when if we actually just understand nature, if we go deep into nature, we understand everything. Like, for example, when we get cut or if we break in our, it hurts, right? It hurts for a reason. It's a signal like, hey, you need to pay attention to this. You need to clean it out, put a bandaid on it before it gets infected, right? Or, you know, or else imagine if we didn't have pain, physical pain, if we were to like break a leg and we continued walking or running because we had no idea, like it's, you know, something's been fractured in our bones, we would further cause damage to it, right? So it's the same thing with our lives, you know, in other respects, right? So, and also too, it's also really difficult to leave these toxic relations, because I was there too, and everybody I'm sure can relate to how difficult it is, especially if you're a codependent or an empath. I'm an empath and a codependent. and I had these individuals as family members as well. So this is something that was familiar as well. I was used to, and also to, you're trying to change the original event. So you're trying to change the original time it happened with a certain perhaps family member, right? So it's like you're recreating it, thinking that you're going to change them because you're trying to change, you know, it's like it turns into like some kind of subconscious game that you get addicted to, that you're trying to like change, so that if you change them, it proves you know, your worth, and that's where nirvana is going to take place. And, you know, and it's just so many variables involved as to why you get so hooked in. Also to the trauma bond is very powerful. Your bond, that creates a bond when you're going through cycles of rewards and punishments, because you get addicted to the rewards. And typically these individuals are really good at giving good rewards, like really knowing how to showcase grandiose gestures of care, and they customize the rewards based on your personality, right? They don't have like a cookie cutter, they based on what they know that you really like, because they've studied you, like they know you, right? So they know how to trigger you. So yeah, that's another reason, or the body gets addicted from those emotions, because when you go through a punishment cycle with these individuals, like when you notice a red flag, for example, you know, after that will pass and a reward is going to come, because they've conditioned you. So you're on this like roller coaster and you can't get off the wheel because your body is addicted to those emotions that they've been producing. So that's a major reason why it's difficult to walk away from these toxic relationships. And, right. and also too, it's like, you feel bad. Well, I know, I would feel bad. Empath, could I feel bad and guilty? Like, oh, you know, I'm not going to be there for them. And, you know, that's another component to it as well.
The guilt, yeah, all that.
It's so much involved. It's why it's, yeah, it is. It's extremely difficult. But until, it's like always usually until you really hit like a breaking point of like, wow, this is like, you cannot continue living like this. It's taking too much away from you. It right. becomes too draining. And then you realize, if I continue on, I'm just going to keep losing more and more energy, having more and more stress and anxiety. And then it will cause consequences in your life, perhaps health, your career, you know, like it starts to like actually will start to trickle into it. It takes time, but it will eventually take a toll on your life.
And you said something there that's huge, how it can start to affect your health, because as you mentioned, you know, thank goodness for pain, right? As it's a signal, but honestly, only 10% of potentially harmful stimuli gets responded to in the brain. So it's like we only notice 10% of all of the noxious stuff around us, like things that could be potentially harmful to us, which is a protective mechanism, because literally if our bodies responded to every single thing that wasn't in the most harmonic resonance with us, we wouldn't be able to function. I mean, it's like a little filter. But that being said, if you could imagine all of this stuff, like the more subtle things, the more energetic, so the toxic, better word is like almost like those self-destructive limiting belief systems that we place on ourselves, or those lower vibrating emotions of the fear, shame, guilt, you know, denial, that stuff that's existing within us from just enduring all of this stuff. Where does that go? The energy doesn't just go away, right? That's like in us. And this is where I was saying how things like start to filter down. And sometimes, yes, it'll come through as pain. And then depending on where on the body it manifests, there's a little signal there. There's a map, although we don't have the owner's manual to this thing, you know, dropping down. But also like that could go into more like chronic diseases and those cancers and that, like it starts to harvest and go and go. And it's like, so it's so important to not dismiss the stuff that is trying to speak to us. And then once we do see it, once we are aware of it, once we know that this isn't okay, like if I love to work with the inner child, because it's like, would we talk to a three-year-old sometimes the way we talk to ourselves? Would we subject our, like, a little three-year-old in a relationship that we do our own self? Half the time, like, no. More than half the time. You know what I'm saying, though? It's like, but we do this. And this is where, like, that was a big eye-opener for me of, like, oh, my gosh, I was just so abusive to my own self. And then it goes into that whole forgiveness of self, because we only know that what we know at that time, right? And then it goes into the relationships outward. But before I go off on another rabbit hole, I'm going to pause right there.
that's another important component of why it's so important to, you know, recognize and heal our traumas, because there's just so much domino effects that can take place. We're recreating them, you know, in our environment, through relationships and situations. And also, because we're involved in these toxic situations or relationships as a result of the trauma we're holding, the original trauma, you're going to be experiencing in your body the anxiety, the stress building up, like all those episodes that you've experienced it, and it gets built up in the body, like toxins becomes like toxins. It's like, you know, and it's in the body, and it can manifest in, a lot of people have back pain. A lot of people seem to like put their stress into the back is a common manifestation. You know, some people get fibromyalgia. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's true. I mean, it's a fact now. The medical community has recognized it, you know, dis-ease, right? Body is not at ease. And the medical community and therapeutic community is now recognizing the benefits of releasing stress from the body, like meditation, any physical activity like yoga or just working out in general, to get it out of the body. And I feel like too, when you're trying to release trauma, it's, you know, doing certain body movements helps to release trauma, but we also need to be mentally aware and clear out of our subconscious, which starts with the conscious mind, to go into the subconscious mind to, you know, intellectually recognize it and release it, and also incorporating the body to release it too, and which is the, you know, how to embody healing, total complete embodiment, having the two together. So yeah, I think there needs to be a discussion, more discussion around the consequences of holding on to toxic relationships and situations. You know, I don't think people really recognize and realize the true cost of that. There's a true high price to pay by staying in toxic relationships over time. Mm-hmm. Like we all hear, you know, cut off, you know, it's such a huge cliche, especially when you go into personal development seminars, because a lot of people embark on personal development to be successful in business. That's always the prime motivation, right? Because now you have to be in control. Like now you're responsible for yourself when you want to be a business owner. Like you have to make decisions. You have to be, you know, you're the creative idea maker, you know, so therefore you know, personal development work becomes mandatory, right? So that's the initial motivation for most people, or, you know, they want to climb up the corporate ladder. So where was I going with this? You're going into personal, oh yeah. The common cliche is cutting off toxic people, right? I heard that so many times. I mean, it's like every single development seminar that I went to, but nobody talked about the true costs of it, right? All they said was, if you want to be successful, you know, you're going to catapult once you get rid of the toxic people. It's like, okay, And, but I will say I held on to the toxic people, you know, and, cause I started going to personal development events like over 15 years ago. Right. And so, cause I didn't recognize the true cost of, holding on to them until I experienced it firsthand. It's like, oh, that's why they say that. That's right. Why when you get rid of them, also I catapult to much more success and more energy and more clarity and more empowerment, because they were draining your energy, creating a state of confusion through the anxiety they produce, and taking time and energy away from yourself, like, you know, because they're literally draining you. And and also too, it's, you know, you start to create resentments towards them, and you can become bitter. You can hold on to that and then project that onto other people. Like, there's just so much poison, different types of poisons they're injecting into you by staying in it that people are not recognizing, I don't think. And I think there needs to be a conversation around all of those micro poisons that they're injecting into you. It's not just draining your energy in terms of, you know, using it for them in terms of listening to them complaining or doing things for them or whatever it is, or getting upset when they covertly insult you, right? That's energy, because then your body's angry and then you become more, you know, losing energy when you become angry. That you can be using the energy towards your projects, towards people who actually love you, you know, going to the park or whatever it is that brings you joy and fills you up or brings you more success, or maybe you need to write a blog article or do a project for work or something, right? So there's more to it. It's not just that. There's a lot more poison around it than just pulling energy away from you.
And another little analogy to use is like, so if we're looking to flow in our life, right, we with the greatest ease, like highway to heaven, right, a highway to our dream life, right, where just everything's moving, everything's flowing, there's no traffic, like all green lights, you're just going. That's ideal, right? That's what we aim for, right? Mm-hmm. With whether it be relationships that aren't supportive of this vision, that aren't harmonious with our heart, whether it be lifestyle patterns that we just know aren't really serving us, but yet we're choosing to hang on to, thought patterns of the doubt or the word, like, I can't do this. All of these things, right, are quote unquote toxins. However, and then another way to think of it, it's like, think of that as like a jammed up highway. It's like, you're not going to get there when you've got all this other stuff, all these other cars, all this beeping, all this honking, everything's jammed up, your gridlock. Like, that's not going to allow for the most optimal flow. Or like, if you think of like, if you want to think of like a stream, right? Like, a stream is flowing. There's that just emotion, is clear water. It's constantly moving. And then you get all of like these sticks and mud and rocks and all this debris, right? Just kind of jumping. What happens there? Then water starts to stagnate. And like, you can't drink from that water. It gets muddy. There's flies all around it, right? It's just, it goes from a beautiful stream to like a trickle. So there's all these different ways of just, like you said, again, looking to nature, seeing how things are reflecting this back. Like, it's not just, it could be applied to so many arenas and all there of like, we need movement. We need to flow. We need ease. And we need to know where it is, where we want to go, like having that vision for ourselves, going back to the beginning of like, what are our values? What defines the lanes? What lane are we gonna drive in? So all of these things, and just giving us a little bit of grace while we do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I completely agree. This has been a phenomenal conversation, Melissa. We touched on so many key points and we really did dive deep into them. It's a very insightful, thought-provoking conversation. And, you know, and hopefully other people can continue this conversation with your family and loved ones and with yourself. You know, this is why Happy Being Well podcast exists. And remember, subscribe so you don't miss another episode. So Melissa, where can people find you if they want to learn more about you or ways, you know, they can work with you? Where can they, what's your website? What's your Instagram handle?
Yeah, website is drmelissacrane.com and Instagram handle is at melissa.a.crane. And then I've been doing a lot of stuff on Clubhouse. So that would be like the best way, but everything is on Instagram up at that little link tree bio. So.
And what's your Clubhouse handle? Is it?
Oh, Clubhouse is at M.A. Crane, D.C.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So guys, I'll have that information on the podcast description, in the podcast episode description. So depending upon what podcast platform you're listening in from, you can either click it or copy and paste it into your website browser to check out drmelissacrane.com would be her hub, where I'm sure you can find her Instagram there as well, and you know, ways to contact her from drmelissacrane.com, which is really easy to remember. Some people have like really difficult websites to remember. Like after they'll say it and I'm like, I already forget the website. And I have to like go in their IG and like copy and paste it. But yours is like super easy. drmelissacrane.com. I actually like that last, it sounds nice, Dr. Melissa Crane. It reminds me of Frasier. I think someone had the name Kramer. Kramer.
Yeah, Frasier Crane, Dr. Frasier Crane.
Yeah, I remember that show. Anywho, it was a pleasure speaking with you. Thanks so much for pouring into the Happy Being Well audience and, you know, devoting your time and energy and experience and insight to the Happy Being Well audience. I appreciated it. I'm sure everybody else has appreciated it. So guys, check her out on Instagram, follow Melissa. If you're on Clubhouse, follow Melissa Crane on Clubhouse. She hosts rooms with other spiritually like-minded people and she's doing guided meditations on Clubhouse. So you can get some free guided meditations right on Clubhouse if you are part of Clubhouse community. And if you're not, I would, you know, if you are looking to tap into an online community, Clubhouse is a really great community to tap into. There's various rooms you can go into and just listen in or contribute as a speaker on stage, a virtual stage. It's pretty cool. Just have discernment when using it. And just make sure you go into rooms that are aligned with who you are, such as Melissa's room, you know, where it's strictly spiritual, because just like in the real world, not everything is perfect and we have to have discernment and, you know, go into positive rooms when using Clubhouse. So thanks, Melissa, so much. And guys, this podcast is sponsored by happybeingwell.com, your place to get irresistible leggings, sage, Palo Santo, natural candles, crystals, and so much more in Happy Being Well. .com And you can also download some free wellness books at happybeingwell.com, like plant-based recipes and essential oils guide and a free self-care journal as well, along with other really cool books as well, like Overcoming Limiting Beliefs and much more on our resources page. So thanks, Melissa. And bye, everybody. Sending light and love. And remember, be happy being well.